sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm a bit concerned, and based on the text message exchange I've had with the suit today, it sounds like he's wagered Mark Lawrence's vehicle. It kind of takes the risk out of it, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Fuck.
That's Bob a violation, Lawrence, actually.
I'd keep checking the parking lot. Just a thought.
We'll have to now. Yeah, that's a total violation.
A violation of what?
You can't
rules?
Bet.
What's sticking rules?
What? You can't bet your coworker's car just because you don't want to waste your own money because you may or may not be good at the betting? Come on now.
Are you with the staff meetings?
Yes, I'm not surprised. But it's still a violation.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if it's a violation. He doesn't care. I mean, my goodness, Bill Self, that's a violation. Yeah, I'd give him a lifetime contract. All right, so.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
All right, so very quickly, a couple quick notes for you before we get to the play-by-play call of the day. Former Nittany Lion basketball player Danny Earle is now the new head basketball coach at Chattanooga. He had been at VMI for 7 years. VMI is not the easiest place yet. He did a terrific job there, including being the SoCon Coach of the Year. He now goes to Chattanooga, Mark Wharton hiring him there. And it's a great opportunity. Danny will do a great job there. You're not going to get a nicer, classier, harder-working guy than Danny Earle. So congrats to him. You know, when he came to Penn State, people don't realize how high a priority he was as a player. When he signed here, he signed and he ended up being third team All-USA Today All-American. That's how good he was. And what a difference he made. Got Penn State to the NCAA tournament as a point guard. Elevated the profile, especially when Penn State was going to the Big Ten. Made a huge difference. I'm thrilled for him. He's one of the great guys out there. That's one. John Hare is going to play in that 3-on-3 down in New Orleans. Well, we now know who his teammates are. The team is called Big Maction. Big Maction. There's one player from Bowling Green, so there's your Mac player. The other two are Brad Davison from Wisconsin and Peyton Willis from Minnesota. They'll play with John Hare. Next, Johnny Davis, Big Ten Player of the Year, has hired an agent. He is opting for the NBA draft. At the moment, rated the number 9 prospect in the draft. So Johnny Davis, along with Keegan Murray, both opting to go, Keegan Murray of Iowa, and E.J. Liddell of Ohio State, all three have opted to go to the NBA draft. So that gets you up to date on news and notes leading into the Final Four. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Yankees strike out repeatedly in a game where the Astros allegedly cheated. Oh, no, not that one. I'm sorry. We're going to go with something else?
This does involve the Yankees, though, ironically.
It's a double play by the Phillies.
Back toward the middle, off the glove of Eflin. Diving play, Didi flips to second with his glove.
Wow.
Over to first. That is a mid-season double play. A tip of the cap from Rhys Hoskins. A phenomenal double play by Didi Gregorius and Gene Segura. And there are two wonderful outs here in the third. That may be one of the greatest double plays you'll ever see.
We already got the player of the year.
It deflects off Eflin.
Wow. Glove toss to Gene, and then we know what Gene can do once he gets that ball in his hand with that cannon. That is unbelievable. Wow.
Well, that's Tom McCarthy and John Kruk themselves in midseason form. Outstanding call. Oh, that great double play yesterday. Well, there you go.
Well, that was this afternoon. This is fresh.
And you know what's really great about it? The game didn't count. All right, so what? Does it show up in the win-loss ledger?
No.
Did I miss something? No. Okay, so Universal DH is in. 28-player roster for the first month of the season. Then in early May, it transitions to 26. I think the limits, I believe, is going to be 13 pitchers. The runner on second in extra innings, I don't like. It's Major League Baseball. I think you got to earn it. Nine-inning doubleheaders, that's good. The only thing I don't really like is the runner on second to start extra innings. Just not me. All right. Jay Abilis wrote an article on ESPN.com today about how there needs to be certain changes in college basketball because the scoring has been down. It is the lowest scoring Sweet 16 since 2015. The number of games where the score has been under 50, and again, as I said to Brandon Lang, I firmly believe that 65 is the magic number for Villanova. They've got to keep this game under 65. If it gets over 65, I mean, that plays into how Kansas plays. I think that's the issue. Can they keep the possessions down, in turn keep the that's the key for them. Keep the possessions down, keep the score down. So let's get into what Jay Billis talked about. Because the numbers are important, and in part it's because of how it's officiated. They had put in the Freedom of Movement Initiative, around 2015, right around there. And look, it worked well for a while, but it's got to keep working. You can't do the jersey grab. You can't turn the game into rugby scrums, especially around the basket where it's so physical. The jersey grab in the open floor, I don't like. And I'll tell you, a call I hate. I hate when they call the dribble handoff and they call the moving screen on the guy. Stop penalizing the offense. Let it go. On the handoff, are you having to pick them off? You pick them off. I don't care. Stop penalizing the offense. I hate that calling games. And, of course, you know anybody who listens to our games. You know darn well I complain about that call every time. I always say, I hate that call. I don't care if it's on Penn State or the opposing team. I said, Dick, I hate that call. Block charge. 90-plus percent are blocks. Sorry. It's the way it is. I hate when, like, well, established position. You're moving. Get it. You're blocked. Sorry. Hey. Okay? It's a block. If you're standing there and you're planning, you don't move, you get run over, that's a charge. No getting around it. But we need to get to back to more freedom of movement. When Jay Billis was talking to somebody from the NBA, because right now 66.6 points per game is so low. And you're talking about low scoring outputs all over the place. Two teams in the Elite Eight scored over 70 points. In the Elite Eight, two teams scored over 70 points. Four teams had 50 points or fewer in the Elite Eight. Yikes. One NBA coach privately told Jay Billis that the college game looked like the NBA in the 90s. And that is an issue because, as you know, I have talked about the NBA in the 90s. And what made the Jordan group great was obviously great defensive teams, but the Jordan group could score. But the Knicks, the Rockets, but especially the Knicks, how many games in the playoffs in the 90s where the final was 82-78? This is the NBA, a 48-minute game. It's 82-78? Really? And the NBA knew they had to do something about it. So let's go through a couple of initiatives very quickly that need to be considered. Number one, you pull, and you've got, unfortunately, college football and college basketball do not have the ability to set the tone for the season with preseason games. You just don't. You can do it with a scrimmage. I mean, I know Big Ten officials come in for a Penn State football scrimmage. Big Ten officials come in to do a Penn State basketball scrimmage. I understand that. But unfortunately, in college sports with no preseason games, you do need to enforce it in the first 2 weeks of the season to let everybody know. And you almost have to sacrifice the first 2 weeks of the season to let everybody know how you're going to officiate the game. And those tournaments like the Maui Classic, Battle for Atlantis, Cancun, Penn State's in the Charleston Classic, those are some of the games where you got to really enforce some of this stuff. Number one, you pull the jersey, it's an automatic foul. You've got to get people away from it. Done. Who cares about the on the screen? Stop calling on the dribble handoff. Okay? It's penalizing the offense when you do that. If it's an obvious move on the screen, okay, a moving screen where somebody sets a pick in the open floor and they move or they stick the leg out, that's a foul. But how many times are you seeing on the mere dribble handoff they're calling that? And I hate that call. Those are two right away. No more tug of the jersey. No more. Okay? Dribble handoff where you're calling a foul and penalizing the offense. Hey, there's a couple things right away. Next, okay, flops need to be technicals, not a warning. It's an automatic technical. That's it. We're done. Move on. Right? And then post play. Hey, you got to be able to clean up post play. It gets physical, foul. Right? Now, I realize that they do have a standard there. If you put one arm into the back of a player, they'll let it go. Okay. Two, it's an automatic foul. All right, I got that. Keep going in that direction. Let's see if we need to clean that up or more, but I can accept that for the time being. The block charge thing, 90% are blocks. These guys call charges like it's handing out water like a 10 at a 10K, for goodness sakes. Here you go. Have a bottle. Have a ball. No, that's a charge. That's a charge. No. Stop penalizing the offense. Guy gets in there. You're jumping in there. Oh, yeah, he was established. No, he was not established. Come on. Stop making stuff up. Let's make believe. 90% are blocks. I do enough games. I know it. All right? So they've got to do all that to open up the game. You need more freedom of movement. You need to have the offense benefit from calls. Every time we turn around, the defense is benefiting from a call. And they've got to be able to get to this as quickly as possible. There's been some talk about going to four quarters instead of two halves. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. I did the NIT in 2018. It was four quarters. You know, after a couple of games, you adjust to it. You have more end of the quarter, situations, obviously. The fouls reset after 10 minutes because you go to the next quarter. Okay, I've got that. It takes out the 1-1. I got that. But I don't mind if it's two halves either. Now, what I don't like are players fouling out, but I think you have to put in rules on foul outs. If you get that fifth foul, you're now tagged, which means when you pick up your sixth foul, I think they should have three free throws. You pick up your seventh foul, that's four. You pick up your eighth foul, that's five. In other words, you run the risk of keeping him out there because guess what? With each foul he picks up, the number of free throws goes up. But you also have the option of keeping said player in the game. I would like to see that implemented. Foul six is three free throws. Seven is four. Eight, I'm talking about for the player, eight is five. Now, there's been a lot of talk about advancing the ball to midcourt late in the game. NC State and UConn played in Bridgeport the other night. That's interesting. UConn's going to go to the Final Four in Minneapolis. Do they know where the airport is? No? He played home the whole time. Oh, well, different story. Yeah, it's Bradley. It's right near where I grew up. But when they played NC State, that was one of the keys, is the ability that each coach had to advance the ball late in regulation, late in overtime, both overtimes, up the floor. Although the NC State coach called a bizarre timeout where he lost his ability to advance the ball. Like, what are you doing? I'm sitting there like going, what kind of crazy timeout is this? What are you doing here? He lost his ability to advance the ball because now he's out of timeouts. Like, okay. So advance the ball, late game, okay, I can live with that because, you know, let's face it, it's done in the NBA, it's done in women's basketball, okay. I mean, that's something I would sit down in a room and I would consider it. All right. Wider lane could mean less physicality. Wider lane can mean less physicality. Maybe going to the NBA lane would help. So those are some of the ideas. I mentioned Johnny Davis declaring for the draft. Jaden Ivey, moments ago, of Purdue, also declared for the NBA draft. He will be one of the top five players picked. He would be the first player I would pick. Something about him I just really like. Well, been a great show for Matt so far. A diehard Yankee fan had no idea they hit 156 in the four games in Houston in 2017. Had no idea. None. Zero. No idea. It's because it didn't fit the Matt narrative. You and Brian Cashman, it's the whiner train. They cost the Yankees a world championship, even though they had to beat the Dodgers next if they won.
Having thought about it a little bit more, I think they would have beat the Dodgers in that series. But it was still not a great move there by Cashman. That was not smart. It's time to move on.
Do you think you would have hit more than 156 at Chavez Ravine?
I mean, if I remember correctly, that year, I just thought if the Yankees can get through, can come up with enough clutch hits to get past that Astros staff, then they can beat anybody.
They were 2-for-16 with runners in scoring position in Houston.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it didn't look good as the series was going on, but that was my thought going into the series because that was a good lineup they had.
Okay. Again, did the Astros cheat? Yes. Yeah, we all know it did. It's been proven. They cheated. Right? Well, I got it. Completely get it. But at the same time, one of the big reasons the Yankees lost is the Astros pitching staff and the Yankees offense. Not good. And the first step to recovery is admitting these things.
While you're right about the batting, on the other side of it, I can't help but notice that when we look back at what happened with the cheating scandal, the trash can thing was at home. Astros won all their home games in the series. Yankees won all their home games in the series.
Except for the four run eighth inning. How many runs did the Astros score in the other 35 innings?
I know, 11.
11. That's not a big number. The Yankee pitching was actually pretty good to its credit. Again, did they cheat? Yes. Okay, Brian Cashman, you're an excellent GM. Stow it. All right, back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today as we set the record straight for Matt. It's been a brutal day for him to hear facts as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
What a great show for Matt today.
Oh, yeah. Always fun show.
I mean, so enjoyable to have your narrative just get destroyed by facts.
Yeah,
doesn't take long to look this stuff up, you know.
I'm aware.
As who the heck was it? Had the great. Somebody was talking. It was in the debate. They're throwing out facts, and he looks at everybody and he says, "That's why you have the internet."
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. What a service department. Inspections, routine, diagnostics, you name it, they can do it. It's one-stop vehicle shopping at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We have now seen mega contracts handed out to broadcasters across the landscape, starting with Tony Romo going to $17.5 million CBS. Jim Nantz then followed up with an eight-figure deal per year with CBS. We know that Al Michaels is going over to Amazon Prime, eight-figure deal per year. Joe Buck, eight-figure deal per year with ESPN. Troy Aikman tops it out at $18 million a year. So, Jimmy Traina of Sports Illustrated talked to Greg Gumbel of CBS about this and went through to talk about the investment in what Greg Gumbel said. And again, he was the lead CBS play-by-play guy from 98 to 2003 until Jim Nantz took over. And basically what it comes down to is that we'll exclude what Matt does for SETD TV. We'll exclude that because I feel when Matt does a game, it makes a huge difference.
Well, thank you.
Don't you think? You're welcome. Gumbel said, quote, this is Greg Gumbel. I never felt in my entire life there is an announcer who can bring someone to the TV set to watch a game that the viewer wasn't already going to watch. And I believe the only thing a broadcaster can do is chase people away. He says, I know this for a fact, Gumbel continued, because I won't name them, but there are three or four announcers. Oh, I'm really interested in watching, but nope, click, I'm gone. I truly believe that. I don't think that someone is tuning in just to hear a particular person call a football game. Gumbel added that the best broadcasters are also helped by having the best games. And that's a fair point. The number one broadcast team for CBS gets a better matchup than the network's third booth, and in return has the stronger chance of making a great call on a close game. People have said to me, oh, Al and Chris do a great job on Sunday Night Football. Yeah, they always do a great job. However, they also do the best game of the week, Gumbel said. Mo, Larry, and Curly, no offense to anyone calling games, Mo, Larry, and Curly can do a good football game. Not so sure about that. But, for example, Kevin Burkhardt ascends to the number one spot at Fox. You know, Kevin Burkhardt was in Jersey in Asbury Park, and he didn't know what to do. He was selling cars at the time. This is years ago. Now, you hear Kevin Burkhardt's voice. Kevin Burkhardt has a great voice and a great feel for sports. I don't care whether it's baseball, football, whatever he does.
I love watching him.
Burkhardt does a great job and has earned the opportunity. I mean, the guy was selling cars and, like, sending his tapes out left and right, picking up some part-time work here and there, and he finally got a break. I mean, you know, sometimes there are some good people out there that just haven't had, quote, the break. It's hard to get there. And I talk to my students about it all the time. But see, he's a good example of somebody who persevered. And by persevering, he ended up with this. I mean, he wouldn't stop. He didn't sit back and go, you know what, I'm destined to be a used car salesman, which is what he was doing. It's not a joke. He was selling used cars at the time. He said, I'm not destined to be a used car salesman. I want to be a sportscaster. So he kept plugging away at it and did. But he's right. I mean, the top broadcasters do get the top games. There's no getting around it. There's no getting around it. And so when you get the top game, but you can also ruin the game. You can ruin the game. You can do the game in such a way where it's like people are like, ay, ay, ay. Okay, I watched it, but it was not a good experience. And here's where it will affect you. In a game where the partisan is neutral, and all of a sudden you're doing the game and they didn't like your last experience, and I sit there going, you know what? You know, I got a choice of games. I may go someplace else. But for the most part, he's right. They don't, I don't think, you know, I think people can call in and tell me. I don't think who's announcing changes your perception of the game. Yeah, unless, of course, it's a, you know, a Shikalimi broadcast. Then it's, the draw is like watching Magnet.
S-U-I-T, that spells Suta!
Our guy, getting it done. But again, you know, maybe you feel differently, but the broadcaster, you know, how much... Now, you want to be able to put out a competent broadcast. No question. And I know... John Skipper, the former head of ESPN, said, yeah, I know people want to put out, they want to get their awards and things like that. I don't think that's what this has to do with it. I mean, people have complained about, yeah, I'll watch Monday Night Football, but they weren't enamored with the booth. Right now you feel like you're making it a better experience, but people were going to watch anyway. Practice notes yesterday. I was glad to hear Mike Yurcich talked. Mike Yurcich talked yesterday. James Franklin talked yesterday. And James talked about the offensive line numbers. The offensive line numbers, you know, between a couple of guys being bumped up, another guy that's not in yet who's a veteran, name I can't mention until he's actually here. We all know they have an offensive line transfer. Okay. They have limited numbers on the offensive line. And they did take a player, and they moved a player from defensive line, Alex Furmanek, and moved him over to offense, you know, so they can keep the numbers stable. The offensive line, I'll be honest with you, those guys have done a heck of a job to this point. And it's a lot of reps they have to take. They have to work around those reps in practice. But the offensive line has done a good job during the course of the spring. They really have, and I give them a lot of credit. I know Zakeet Wheatley was singled out by James Franklin yesterday. Zakeet Wheatley should be singled out. Zakeet Wheatley has had a good week and a half to get going here. He's playing the safety spot, good ball reaction, nice instincts back there. He's long, makes a difference. The nice fit. I think he was a good corner. I think he has a chance to be a better safety. Then, of course, there's the offense. And Mike Yurcich talked yesterday about the quarterbacks and the offense. And also James Franklin brought up about, I think it was James was the one that brought up about Nick Singleton in pass protection. It was either James or Mike. I think it was James. Look, Singleton can run. No getting around it. And so can Catron Allen. Catron Allen's very good. But you're always looking for young backs, especially in this era, although it goes all the way back. I remember Kurt Warner became really good back in 1980 as a guy that could pick up, you know, on blitz pickup. You need guys like that. You got to be a good all-around player to play. Singleton does that. Singleton is not afraid to throw his body in there at all. Like, he'll get in there, boom, he will square up, and he will hit you. That's impressive. We already know he can run the ball, and he can run the ball, believe me. But it's the other elements. You know, and also, what they did mention, Singleton is also very good as a receiver out of the backfield, too, which helps. Same thing with Catron Allen, who did a good job there. As for the quotes from Mike Yurcich yesterday, does Clifford's experience mean more work for the younger players behind him? Mike said, not necessarily. We have a certain amount of meeting time in the offseason that we're allowed to do, so we're a little restricted there. We try to maximize with everyone. Sean's one of those guys that is ultra-competitive everywhere on the field and in the meeting room. So I wouldn't say there was extra time just because of him being very experienced. They all need the meeting time. I need to interact with them, and the relationships have to build from there. As for where Sean needs to be better, I think the biggest thing from year one to year two, and so we've been through practice five, is the fluidity of getting through the progressions and being able to anticipate. If it's RPOs, he's more well-versed in the system in the second year. You can see that, and you can see it, by the way. I think he feels that right now. So it's not probably one thing, it's everything right now. More of a comfort zone with how I call it and what we're looking for and what we're trying to get done. More familiarity. Then, of course, everyone wants to know about the first-year players, Drew Aller and Bo Perbula. Okay. Mike is happy with how each has looked after a handful of drills at this level. Again, they're one-third of the way through. But there's also certainly a ways to go for each as they get their footing this spring. Both Bo and Drew were coached extremely well in high school in different systems. Our system's different than their systems. And just getting the verbiage down, being under center at times, being able to have the direct protections, even running checks at times, all those things are probably the biggest areas of growth right now for us with regard to the young quarterbacks. But they're doing an excellent job. They're very far along because of how they were groomed in high school. They show a lot of arm talent. They have good feet, good pocket awareness, both of them. And that is something that after practice, Bo and Drew both, part of what they do as their routine, they each take a series of snaps under center. Because neither one took snaps under center in high school. And even though it's not a major part of what Penn State does, Penn State now has in their system snaps under center. So again, the two young quarterbacks will go through and work with the centers on direct snaps so they're comfortable doing that. As for splitting up reps, Mike Yurcich says you try to break up the reps and keep them as even as you possibly can. At the same time, you have to start giving a higher ratio to guys you think you have to get game ready. We don't have to concern ourselves with that right now, but as spring comes to a close and you get to fall camp, you have to be mindful of that. That's part of it, right? Giving everybody enough reps to give him a good evaluation to make sure that your depth charts are where they need to be and also the amount of reps it takes to prepare guys. That's what he said yesterday after practice about the quarterbacks. And by the way, he had a lot of great things to say about Christian Veau. Christian Veau's had a very good spring so far. As for the running backs, he says, the two young running backs, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, they're impressive, Mike said. Those two guys are going to make it ultra-competitive in that room. They're very explosive. And that is very true, as a matter of fact. And it's also good to see Keziah Holmes back out there, too. It really is. So very interesting. All right. Take a break. Come back. More in a moment. Matt's been trying to research the 2017 playoffs. And, you know, since there's some pain. Yeah. Did the other team cheat? Yeah. But you didn't help yourself. Oh, well. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
That's why I figured we would go through what Mike said yesterday, a little bit of what James said yesterday. It's one third of the way through. The next one's coming up on Saturday. They're going three a week. You know, until you get to the last week, then you got four that week. That gets you to 15. I think there's one week with two, obviously, somewhere in there. But, yeah. All right, so talked about the players going to the draft. DJ Liddell, Ohio State, Jay Nivey, Purdue, Johnny Davis of Wisconsin have all declared for the draft, all hiring agents. And away we go. Today, by the way, would have been opening day for Major League Baseball. And it will be a week from today instead. And Bobby Wagner, formerly the Seahawks, terrific inside linebacker, has signed a contract with the Los Angeles Rams. Wow. They asked him about the Eagles. He said, fans too brutal. I said, okay.
Sure.
Could have helped you.
I would have loved to Eagles have signed them, though. But, I mean, like I said yesterday, I like Kazir White, and I guess since they made that signing, they weren't going to go after Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, Kazir White, yeah. They'll swing the NFC East. All right, Ooh, brutal. Brutal.
Hey, if they attack it in the draft with someone like a Devin Lloyd, I'm happy.
Brutal. You got three picks. Don't botch it.
That's right. Let's go, Howie.
Do you think they'll trade any of them? By the way, the Wagner deal was a 5-year deal with the Rams. Ooh, about that.
Yeah, 5-year, $50 million, I think. Right.
Yeah. Big deal. That's huge. All right. So the. And then your team, unfortunately, they've got to go to Toronto at some point, so you'll be missing half your guys. No? Just kidding.
We'll see. But now, too, I got to worry about the Sixers. With this latest report coming out today, the Heat and the Bucks say they're fully vaxxed, but the Celtics and Sixers wouldn't comment. So that doesn't make me feel comfortable if you have to play the Raptors in the first round. And right now, the season ended today. Yeah, Sixers play the Raptors in the 3-6 matchup.
The league told you. The Canadian government told you. The truck drivers fought for you, but nothing. I'm just telling you. You had your chance. I don't know. I don't know why you some reason. Yeah. Does your team try to lose? Is that? Do you think that's real? No.
Are you referring to the Sixers?
Any team that you root for.
Sometimes I wonder.
Sometimes you wonder. Oh my God.
Well, the Sixers actually were trying to lose a few years ago.
Oh, we know that. Oh, we know that. That is very true. They were trying to lose a few years ago. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Penn State's going to go 3 practices a week, by the way, leading in. Because the last week, they're not going to go on a Monday. That's the reason. So 3 practices a week. So they got 5 down. The 6th one's coming up Saturday. And I think that's the last Saturday practice until they get to the blue-white game. Because the next 2 weeks, the 3rd practice a week will be on Fridays. There you go. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a service department, whether it's inspections, routine, or diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. John Crispin on the Final 4 tomorrow.